brand new episode of Cycle Talk SA. It is number 11. I'm Brad Brown, your host. Thank you for joining us this week. And another very, very busy show. And very, very chuffed, actually, to have all three guests on the show this week. And first of all, I must say congratulations to Louis Mainkies. What a great performance in the under-23 UCI World Championships. And the great news is I have Louis on this week's show, so we'll be chatting to him. Also, this past weekend, I emceed out at a cycle race on the West Rand of Johannesburg, all part of the Go West Cycle Tour. And I managed to catch up with the winner of that one. Big purse at that race as well. Nolan Hoffman out-sprinted everyone. It was a big bunch sprint. Nolan Hoffman, the man to cross the line first. 40,000 Rand richer as well. I chatted to Nolan. And then I also caught up with Mike Hewen from The Complete Cyclist. And I wanted to chat to Mike. A lot of times, especially novices and especially female novices, are very nervous to head out on the road because they're not quite sure what they need to do or take from a spares and maybe tools perspective when it comes to heading out on the road. What do you need? What could go wrong? And we chat to Mike a little bit about that. Very interesting chat. So if you're a novice cyclist, and in particular if you're a female novice cyclist, you definitely want to listen to that interview. That's all coming up on this week's show. As always, I love hearing from you. Had tons of great feedback after last week's show with Kath Albertine and Roel de Jong. That St. Cole's challenge that Roel did sounds absolutely amazing. But keep the feedback coming. You can tweet us at Cycle Talk SA. You can also Facebook us. You just look us up, facebook.com/Cycle Talk SA. Or alternatively, you can pop me an email as well. My email address is podcast@cycletalksa.co.za. If I could ask a massive favor as well, if you wouldn't mind just taking a couple of seconds of your time and leaving us a star rating on iTunes. We've got some great ones of late. What that does is it helps other people find this podcast. And if you find this helpful and informative, I'd love it if you would help me share it with other people. A star rating on iTunes. And if you've got a bit more time, take only a minute. Leave us a review as well. Tell us your thoughts of the show on iTunes. It is that easy. And yeah, let's get straight into this week's show. First guest, and what a performance last week, Friday. Let's chat to Louis Mainkies. Absolutely awesome this week to catch up with Louis Mainkies. Fantastic rides at the World Champs in the under-23s last week, bagging silver for Team South Africa. Louis, thanks for taking the time to chat to us. Where in the world do we find you? In Italy, right?
Yeah, I'm in Italy at the moment, in Lucca.
Fantastic. Louis, congrats on your ride. You must be super chuffed.
Yeah, I'm over the moon. It's really satisfying finally getting a result there.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the race goes, it was fairly tough. I mean, we watched it here. There were lots of attacks, guys trying to get off the front and then pulling them back. And I mean, tell me a little bit about the race itself, just from a tactics perspective for yourself, because there were a couple of teams in there, different nations, who had quite a few riders. There weren't that many South Africans in there. So from a teamwork perspective, it must have been really difficult for you. You had to pick who you needed to stick with and then go at the right time. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We were three South Africans, Johan van Zyl and Christopher Jennings were my teammates, and the plan was that they take care of the first part of the race. So they sat on the front of the bunch and made sure no dangerous moves went away, and then I waited for the finish, and yeah, luckily it paid off.
And the route itself, I mean, I know the men's race this weekend, the conditions were absolutely, the seniors race, the conditions were absolutely atrocious. It wasn't the greatest for you guys either. It was a hard race, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a hard race. Well, the conditions actually suited me, so it was very good for that. And the course suited me as well, so yeah, I'm very lucky this year.
Louis, talk to me a little bit about your career. You're racing for Team MTN Quebec at the moment. Where did your cycling career start? I mean, how did you get involved in the sport?
Yes, I'm racing for MTN Quebec at the moment. And I started racing competitively when I was about 16 years old. And yeah, I rode for the academy for many years. And yeah, finally, now I'm running for a pro continental team.
And from the team, I mean, we had Douglas Ride on the show just a few weeks ago, just talking about his sort of hopes and ambitions for the team and where he sees it going in the next few years. You're obviously really well placed. I mean, with that silver at the World Champs and with the plans that Douglas has got for the team in the coming year, in the coming 2 years, from a personal sort of perspective, what are your ambitions in that team? Where do you see yourself a year, 2 years from now?
Well, in terms of this, I think it's a very good team for any side or any African. So it's much better than, or you can get a much better name racing for an African team than going to race for any other European team. So for me, it's perfect. So yeah, and I see it growing enormously. I think the effort the guys are putting in, it's just amount of time before it starts paying out.
Louis, I ask a lot of young cyclists this, who are sort of up and coming and getting some great results. This year for South African cycling has been a fantastic year. If you look at what's happened on the international circuit and top tier, in particular the Tour de France, with Daryl Impey being in yellow, the first South African and first African ever to don the yellow jersey. And then a guy like Chris Froome, who's got very strong South African connections. We like to claim him as our own, although Britain and Kenya will beg to differ. How much has those performances this year given guys like yourself belief that, you know what, I'm good enough to be here, and I'm good enough to mix it up with the best in the world?
Yeah, definitely. It's inspired us. Those Wimpy and Chris Froome are like a role model to a lot of South Africans and other Africans. So, yeah, I think it's what they did inspired us quite a lot. So, yeah, and I think this is momentum that's going to keep on building. So.
And then, Louis, tell me a little bit about the year you guys have had in Europe from an experience point of view. It's been a sharp learning curve, I'm sure. But what's the one big thing you'll take out of this year from an experience point of view?
Definitely a big learning curve. Just, I think racing in the bunch is one of the big things you learn. Yeah, it's the respect of the other riders and learning what's acceptable and what's not. So, yeah, definitely just being part of the European bunch.
You've obviously had sort of expectations on what you thought it might be like heading over from South Africa to Europe to race on that circuit. What's been the biggest surprise for you that you thought something would be one way, but it's actually turned out to be totally different?
I think one of the biggest surprises is actually being able to race. I thought, because it was always a dream, and you always think it's going to be so hard, and you think maybe it's unreachable, but it actually was quite reachable. So that was, I think, the biggest surprise.
Okay, and I mean, your winning silver on Friday, how much belief does that instill in the other young guys in that MTN Quebecer, that a guy who's been riding alongside them, training alongside them, has now achieved something great? How much belief does that put into their minds and into their hearts, knowing that they can do it too?
Yeah, well, I really hope it does. It does inspire them, and I'm sure it will give them some confidence as well.
Louis, give us some advice for youngsters who are perhaps sitting at home listening to this, and they're pretty good cyclists, they're there or thereabout, and they're really trying hard to knock on the door of perhaps a European team or maybe trying to get into the MTN Quebecer sort of program. What advice could you give to someone like that who's there or thereabout but is just looking to kick on?
I think hard work and discipline, that's the only answer. If you are willing to put in the hours and you are willing to put in the effort, there's no reason why you can't be a professional cyclist. So I would just say, yeah, hard work and determination. That's what it takes.
Because you mentioned a guy like Chris Froome and a guy like Daryl Impey being role models. You understand that you're in that position now to a lot of youngsters back home in South Africa?
Well, I'm still kind of getting used to that idea, but I guess so.
It must be a cool feeling, though, Louis. I mean, going into the race, did you realistically think you had a chance of podiuming that race, or did you just want to be competitive and be there or thereabout?
Well, I knew it was never impossible, but yeah, it's World Championships, and you never know really what to expect. So, yeah, it was just making sure I'm competitive, but in the back of my mind, I knew it wasn't completely unrealistic.
And Louis, I hate to ask this question, but I think I need to ask it. The big pro-continental teams were obviously out there and the scouts were watching the youngsters racing. Any interest from other big teams, possibly a Team Sky or, I mean, looking at signing you perhaps for the future?
Well, at the moment, there's a lot of talk, but nothing really happening. So, yeah, maybe in years to come, but I think for now I'm happy with MTN.
Yeah, I mean, MTN, it's a great story, isn't it? I mean, if you think about the story behind it and where it's coming from and the ideals and what MTN and Quebec are hoping to achieve, it must be pretty cool to be part of history being made.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool, and it's pretty amazing being a part of a project like MTN Quebec. I mean, we're racing and we compete as the cyclists, but we're also helping the community. So it's like a win-win situation. We get to do good work and enjoy ourselves at the same time.
And then, Louis, tell me a little bit about some of the other guys on the team. The team's made some great signings this year, guys with quite a bit of experience. And there's also quite a few youngsters like yourself that are on that team and performing really well. You've had a great year this year from an MTN Quebec side. But tell me a little bit about some of the guys on your team that, if somebody's listening to this and they're not quite sure who to look out for, who are the names in that team that really stand out for you?
Well, we have a team that's well balanced. We've got a lot of young guys that yet to gain experience and learn from the older guys like Gerald Cherlick and now Linus Gudeman. So yeah, well, it's pretty much set up that way so that all the Africans can learn from the experienced Europeans.
And sort of ambitions and goals for you, ultimate, like in the best case scenario, if all your dreams came true, what would you want to see, what would you want to achieve in your cycling career before you hang up your wheels?
In a year, I think just to be established pro cyclist, that's the main goal, to make sure I can keep on doing this as a career. That's the main goal.
And looking at the Grand Tours, something like the Tour de France, the Vuelta, perhaps the Giro, I'm taking it those are on your bucket list that you would love to race those three Grand Tours?
Yeah, those will all be extras. Yeah, it's really a dream to ride a pro tour and to win a stage or to even win a pro tour. That will all just be dreams and hopefully they do come true.
That's awesome. Louis, once again, congratulations on your silver last week. It was a superb race to watch. We were so excited here at home. You have no idea how proud you've made us, and it's great to see you flying the flag overseas. And we look forward in the years to come to seeing you racing races like the Tour de France, the Giro and the Vuelta, and possibly winning stages and possibly going on to win the entire tour.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on your show.
Cool. Chatting to Nolan Hoffman today. We've been out at the Go West Cycle Race out in Mukhali City. It was 145 kilometers that the elite race today, and a top field. Good prize money out here today, and the winner, Nolan Hoffman. Nolan, congratulations on your win today, man.
Thank you so much. Perfect conditions today, and really everything fell nicely into place for us. The team rode well, and the finish suited me perfect, you know, a downhill sprint with my track background. Couldn't have asked for more.
No, it was an interesting one. Obviously, there's big purse here today, big prize money, so no one could get away off the front of the group. I mean, everybody kept pulling them back, so it turned into a great sprint at the end.
Definitely, especially with a prize purse, you know. We always knew that we had one card to play with me, and at the moment, I've been sprinting really well, you know. The team had huge confidence in me, and the plan was from the word go to keep it as a bunch, and like you say, the prize purse, it motivated everybody to let it come down to a sprint. No one really wanted to get away because they were looking after their sprinters, and worked into my favor. Happy to have walked away with the 40,000, and well done to the team, you know.
Yeah, actually, I mean, it is the team effort, and the guys that rode for you today, I mean, they put themselves out there and work hard to keep you in the bunch up front.
Yeah, incredible, you know. The wind wasn't as bad, but like in the last 30Ks, MTN was handing it out, you know, because they don't have a really dominant sprinter, and they were giving it to us, you know. They were attacking one by one, one after the other, and my team, James Perry, Miles, they rode really strong in the last 30Ks to to control it with Bonitas in order for me to sprint. And it's never easy if you have guys attacking to control the peloton, you know, and especially with a headwind like that. It was nail-biting. We caught the last attacker in the last 2Ks, and I always knew I can look after myself on that downhill, so it was perfect.
Cool. No, it's been a great year for South African cycling. If you think of what's happened on the European circuit with Daryl in yellow at the Tour de France, Chris Froome with his South African connections winning the race, but then if you look at the World Champs this weekend as well, Louis Meintjes finishing second. I mean, it bodes well for South African cycling. From a personal perspective, what's your sort of ambitions? Where do you want to go?
One word comes to mind: inspiring. You know, it's really South African cycling in the past 2 years has just gone on the up. You know, with Daryl in the yellow jersey, it's been phenomenal. You know, you couldn't have asked for better results than that. You know, and Louis coming second yesterday, the other day, it was incredible stuff. I mean, it had me on the edge of the seat and I'm rooting and shouting for him. Myself, I'm also pretty much up there. You know. Last year, I got second in the scratch race, the World Championships. And this year, my goal is to go for the World Cups again. And hopefully next year, I can go one better at the scratch race in Colombia. But really inspiring. Everybody is motivated. You can see it in the racing, the MTN Quebec team. The racing is much harder and the level is it's higher. It's harder to win races nowadays, you know, and it makes good for building the younger guys. And hopefully in the next 5 years, we'll have more South African pros in Europe and riding there up alongside Louis and Daryl, you know, and exciting times to come, especially with the MTN Pro Conti team in South Africa now at the moment as well. So if you're a young guy, you should be motivated and riding your bike there. You know, I'm sure that we'll see good things in the future to come.
It gives you a lot of belief with a guy like Louis who's done so well, and it's guys that you've raced against that you know if he can do it, you can do it.
Definitely, you know, you've seen the guy 6 months ago next to you on the start line, and it's success breeds success. You know, that's how it goes in the sport of cycling. And the young guys now, there's opportunity through MTN, you know, and you can see now, it's evident that their program is a success, and the guys are starting to show, you know, they have had an incredible year in Europe campaigning there, and the results are starting to pay off now, you know. And hats off to all those guys that's putting in the effort and getting the results, you know. Hard work pays off in the end.
Exactly. Nolan Hoffman, congratulations once again. I'm going to let you go and celebrate.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been an interesting show this week on Cycle Talk SA. Two great South African riders just blazing a trail. And I thought, you know what, I wanted to chat average cyclists as well. And I've been in the process of getting a bike for my wife. And it's been an interesting one, to say the least. Chatted to tons of bike shops, ended up buying one. Funnily enough, ended up buying it from Mike Hewitt, the Complete Cyclist. Mike, welcome onto the show. It's good to have you on, by the way.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure chatting to you guys.
Mike, the reason I wanted to chat is obviously the big cycle race that's coming up in just over a month from now is the Momentum 94.7 Cycle Challenge. You're just seeing it every single weekend. More and more people out on the roads, especially up in Gauteng, and more girls taking part, which is very, very cool as well. But I wanted to touch base just from a girl's perspective, especially from a novice. What to do, what should you take out on the road? I mean, so much can go wrong that you don't want to talk it up that it's bad to get out there, but you need to be prepared in case something does go wrong. So from a spares in that perspective and just from a safety perspective, what should girls be taking out on the road with them?
Look, I think, you know, it's an important point to talk about this sort of thing. We all take part in this lifestyle of cycling, and no one should be excluded because they don't have someone to ride with or someone knowledgeable to ride with. So it's quite important to equip yourself both with the know-how and the tools should something go wrong. And it's not something drastic that needs to go wrong. It can be something as simple as a puncture that can ruin someone's ride and leave them stranded out in the middle of nowhere. And that in turn, to me, causes a bit of risk of safety. You don't want to be in the middle of nowhere by yourself, especially if it's a group or even two or one woman by themselves. So from my side, as a brand Complete Cyclist, we really want to, and I'm sure there's other brands in the industry that want to do this, but break down the barriers of this daunting sport that is cycling. And people get into it and so often walk into a bike shop, but you know, it's quite an intimidating environment with these racing snake chiseled leg guys trying to explain, you know, what sub three race they've just done. And all that person wants to know is, you know, what bomb adapter they should be taking on a ride. So the basics of what women, specifically women, should be taking with, is not dissimilar to anything else as anyone else would be taking with it. It's a full list of spares. When something goes wrong, I'm talking in terms of puncture, you're going to need to have a tube with you. If you are going on a long enough ride, I normally take two tubes. You can get away with taking one tube, and then they've created a product that's been on the market for quite a while now. It's called a glueless patch. It's effectively a tube patch with a high-density sticker, and that can repair a damaged tube and allow you to use that tube again and get home. It's not a permanent fix, but it is going to get you home if you do take one tube and have two punctures. So that's quite a nice one to take. The next item after that is tire levers. Tire levers it's a cycling specific spanner, if you will, or lever that takes the tire on and off the rim. A lot of guys or girls who know what they're doing can do it with one. I'd suggest people taking two. They normally come with a clip so you can take it off the rim, clip it onto a spoke, and then remove the other side of the bead. Just allows you to do it a little bit easier, and not breaking a fingernail or something like that. All important to the look of cycling, you know. Then to inflate the tire, you obviously need some sort of an inflation device. Your options there are bombs. Bombs are CO2 canisters. It's compressed air. You get them in different sizes. I wouldn't suggest anything smaller than a 16-gram bomb. You really don't need those 16-gram bombs. You can then use on mountain bikes. You do get bigger bombs now. People refer to them as 29er bombs, but you don't really need to be carrying those on a road bike, especially now leading up to the Momentum 94.7. The other option with a bomb is you're going to need to take a bomb adapter. That's the valve which connects the bomb to your tube and allows you to control the airflow and inflate it. If you don't opt to go with bombs, bombs are just quicker and easier. They do end up costing a bit, but you're replacing a bomb every time. They aren't reusable. You can get a handheld pump, which you can either fit in your pocket or fit on the bike. And that basically a list of things that you should take with you. The only other item that I normally throw in there is a little box of goodies. In that is a valve adapter that converts a small Presta thin valve to a thicker valve called a Schrader, otherwise known as a car valve or auto valve. And that's if really things go crazy, you can adapt it to fit a car petrol station nozzle, so you can inflate it with air. Just remembering, of course, that those are all geared to inflate vehicle tires up to about between 2 and 3 bar, and you're going to need to go closer to 8. So you are going to just be able to get home on not a very hard tire. So that's a list of things that you should be taking with you. I don't know if there's anything else that you would question in that list as a cyclist yourself.
No, Mike, you know what the amazing thing is? I love doing these shows because I learn stuff. I mean, I've been riding for a hell of a long time, and you talk about taking one tube. I always carry like two or three because I've got the worst luck. I mean, if someone's going to puncture in a group ride, it's me. And if somebody's going to puncture multiple times in a group ride, it's me. I've never heard of that adhesive patch before. That's the first that I've heard of it. That's flipping awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's a quick fix. Look, I've used one and forgotten to change it and used it the day after, and it's been okay. But as I said to you, it's not perfect. It's not permanent. But, you know, chances are you do go out and have two punctures, and then you're left stranded somewhere. You either need to get a lift home, you need to call a loved one or a soon-to-be ex-friend who's got to drive out 2 hours to come pick you up on the other side of the cradle. So it's a nice have just to get home if things go crazy. Just remembering, of course, that if you need to inflate a tire twice and you're using something like bombs, you need to take a second bomb. You can't take two tubes and take one bomb. You're not then going to have a full solution if you do have two punctures.
Yeah, true.
So you need to gear yourself that all lined up. If you take two of anything, you need to take two inflators with two tubes.
Mike, I don't know if you would sort of agree with this, but when I sort of learned how to change a tire, I practiced it before I headed out, because the last thing you want to do is get out on the road, you're 2 hours away from home, you get a puncture, you've got all the gear, but you don't actually know how to use it.
Well, it's exactly that. It's all the gear and no idea, as they say. And someone once said to me that, you know, the best multi-tool you have is one you know how to use. And it's quite true, and it extends across all the products you're going to carry with you. And right down to the bomb adapter and bombs that you're going to use. Not only tubes and tires and changing those sort of things, practicing, but using a bomb for the first time. When I started cycling, I got it wrong. You're also going to come across dead bombs, which do happen. You know, you put it in, you pierce the bomb, and it's actually empty. And that's just a manufacturing defect. Probably happens 1 in every 2 million bombs, but it does happen. So it is something you need to consider is actually practicing with a bomb, with a tire, practice changing it. Remembering, of course, that in some circumstances you're going to be in a race environment. And while you're not racing, you are going to be tired. You're going to be hot. You're going to be sweaty. And you're going to need to remember how to do things, in a bit of a flustered state. So keep calm, know what you're doing, and change it, you know, practice at home and get to know how to use those things and, get to know how to do it properly.
Yeah, without a doubt. Mike, I don't know if there's anything else that we haven't covered. I think that's pretty cool just from a basic perspective from what girls would need out on the bike. And it's not just girls. Obviously, guys need them too. So if there's a novice guy that's listening to this, that's great advice for him too.
For sure. Look, I mean, there's a couple of other tips I'll just run through quickly that do certainly help when you're doing this kind of thing. But when you're taking the wheels on and off the bike, there's a couple of tricks. Obviously, you need to loosen your brakes. Most brakes have a quick release lever that just widens the brake pad so that you can get the tire through, because often the tire being used is slightly wider than the rim, and you need to release that. Remembering, of course, that if the tire is flat, it's going to go out easy, but when you inflate it, it's not going to go in easy. So just release it to start with. And then the easiest thing to do when it comes to gears, because that's also quite difficult, is put it into the bottom gear on the back, because you'll be taking your rear wheel out if you take that out, so that when you put it back in, you just put it back onto that same gear. It just makes it a lot easier, because you could take it out and it's on the top gear and you put it back in and it's on the bottom gear, and that's never ever going to line up. And you stand there trying to work out why your frame is now skewed and it wasn't skewed when you took the wheel out. And it's just simply a case of the gears not being aligned. That just makes changing things a lot easier.
Yeah, that's especially on, yeah, I mean, that counts for the back one. I mean, the front one, there's obviously no gears, and the back one is the one that creates most of the problems, I think, when people do first start changing punctures.
Yes, for sure. And I mean, obviously, you've got gears, and you don't really want to rest your bike down on its gears. So the easiest way to do it, it's not nice for a lot of people, but you either lean a bike on its left-hand side away from the gears, so you're not bending hangers and gears and any of the soft components or the delicate components on the right-hand side. The alternative is to turn the bike upside down, but just remembering, of course, that you've got bicycle computers, 4, 5, 6, and plus 1,000 Rand Brighton, Garmin, power tap type units on the top of your bike that you could damage or scratch. So just keep that in mind when you're turning the bike upside down in a flustered state.
Cool, absolutely. And then there was one more that you were just going to, I interrupted.
Yeah, I know. The other one was just in terms of prevention. You know, prevention is better than any sort of cure. Check your tires regularly. The rear tire is almost definitely going to wear out quicker than the front tire, just because of that's where all the drive is going through. You can see a tire's worn out as it creates a bit of a flat spot on the tip. And then also just look for any sort of cuts in glass. I know myself personally, before any sort of big race, you deflate the tire slightly with your pump, or deflate it at home. And then take a small knife and just run around the tire. What you'll do is you'll find small pieces of glass that have lodged themselves in the tire and haven't yet caused a puncture. But with something else pushing it in there, that's just then cause for the next puncture. So you want to check that kind of thing and then inflate it back up to the normal pressure that you should ride at. And that should just prevent you having too many punctures. Obviously, you can't prevent all the punctures, but you can prevent as many as you can.
Yeah, Mike, that's spot on. I mean, the tire, I mean, how much wear you've had on, obviously the more worn they are, the more chance you've got of puncturing. But also good quality tires, making sure you've got good quality tires on the bike too. That makes a big difference as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And a lot of bike stores are good at this sort of thing. I think as an industry, we're getting better and better. When people want to look for something, go in and ask for something, and you're going to be dictating to the salesman what type of tire you're looking for. You're either going to be looking for something that's completely bomb-proof, or you're going to be looking for a very sticky, very slick race tire. When you buy a race tires are normally lighter. The rubber compound is softer. Not going to be as puncture resistant as something that's going to be a little bit heavier with a harder rubber compound. So you've got to understand that for the speed, you've got to trade off. But you can get very, very good intermediate tires that are good all round, what I call all round racing and training tires, because you want to just be able to do everything, both racing and training, on one set of tires and not have to change them all the time. If you don't have two sets of wheels, that obviously you can have different tires on each set of wheels.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike, as always, been awesome catching up and yeah, some great insight there as well. What I'll do is I'll pop some of those tips on our website too, so that if people who aren't listening to the podcast come across it, they can pick those up too, and it'll be a bit of a resource as well. So all you have to do is head over to cycletalksa.co.za/11, and that's where you can get all that info. Mike Ewan from The Complete Cyclist, thank you so much for chatting to us today. Really do appreciate it.
It's an absolute pleasure. As always, it's a pleasure. And anything else you need, yeah, give us a shout.
Three cool interviews this week on Cycle Talk SA. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I enjoyed putting it together for you. And that's it. That's a wrap. Until next week, if you have any suggestions or comments, or if you'd like to let us know something that's happening in your cycling club, or perhaps you've ridden a really cool race you'd like to tell the rest of our listeners about, please do be in touch. All you have to do is pop me an email, podcast@cycletalksa.co.za. You can also tweet us if you'd like, @cycletalksa. Or you can pop us a message on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/cycletalksa. That's a wrap for this week's show. I look forward to spending some more time with you next week. Thanks to all three of our guests, Louis, Nolan, and Mike. Really do appreciate your time. From myself, Brad Brown, we'll chat soon. Cheers.